Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horne Art Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. This week, Richie and I are chatting about balancing making art with running a business. Sometimes the administrative side of being an artist can take over to the point where you don't feel like you are an artist anymore. This happened to me recently, and we're chatting about it in this week's episode. I hope that you enjoy the conversation and that you get some ideas and inspiration around how you can make your art a priority.
Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I'm very well. I've been ticking things off my to-do list this morning and feeling a bit of a sense of satisfaction, which is a good thing because I was feeling very frazzled yesterday and like I just had too much going through my mind. And what I ended up doing was spending most of Sunday planning for the week. But I did it in a way that was enjoyable. So that meant lots of doodling in the margins. Doodling in the margins. And I actually worked on paper rather than using my electronic planner. So normally you'd hear me going on and on about Trello and how much I love Trello, which is an online tool. But I felt like I needed to get off the computer. So I decided to do more of a bullet journal kind of setup where you do it all by hand on a piece of paper and draw up, you know, little squares and do your calendar and your to-do list. And it was more of an artsy approach to planning.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I remember you said, oh, we should talk about this on the podcast. This would make a beautiful thumbnail. I'll come down to the office and I'll scan it in. And I was thinking to myself, we could scan this in and maybe run off a few sheets so you wouldn't have to do it every week. So I come to the office this morning and in true Laura Horne art fashion, what did you do to your beautiful journal spread?
I spilt nearly a whole cup of coffee on it.
You are unreal.
I had a coffee in my hand and then I went to grab something else and my whole hand just moved with me, like lack of coordination. So my center of gravity was disturbed and I tipped over. Like, do you know that I'm a Little Teapot song?
I can't do this.
It was kind of like that. I just turned into a little teapot and I just turned and everything came out.
It's like one of those slapstick comedies where the guy's holding the coffee and you ask him what time it is and he looks at his watch and it spills out.
It was exactly like that. I went to pick up a calculator and it just tilted everything with it.
Oh my God.
So that's what happened to my journal. And the funny thing is yesterday when I decided that I was going to spend some time planning out the week and looking at my calendar and figuring out when I'll do what, I thought, oh, maybe I'll do it on paper and I'll do a few little doodles with a Micron pen, just make it a little bit more fun. I get to do some art while I'm doing it. And I thought to myself that setting up my page would take about 10, maybe 20 minutes. I spent about 4 hours setting up my page. Maybe not 4 hours, but that's a bit of an exaggeration. But I was up there for a couple of hours and that's before I had done any planning. So I don't think I'll be taking that approach on a weekly basis. I just thought I'd mix it up this week. I wanted to get away from my computer. That was the big thing. I just was sick of it. I was like, I don't want to be on the computer anymore. And I was feeling a bit like I'm an artist. I should be making art more. I'm spending too much time doing all the business stuff. I don't even feel like an artist anymore.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling.
No, and you've got a lot going on. I mean, you just spoke about it last week. We were speaking about, you know, how do you get yourself seen? And I think we said something along the lines of, you know, you got to sell your soul a little. And I'm just watching you trying to crawl your way back into painting. And you have a couple of amazing opportunities with your painting. And there you are on the computer, on your phone, setting things up. And what did you say? If I don't get this done, there's no money coming in. And I'm kind of like, this is not what we got into this for. Forget it. Forget the money. Forget everything. Just paint.
Yeah. You gave me the advice that I needed, which was to get back to painting and make painting the priority, because what was happening was painting was actually falling to the bottom of the list. And I was thinking, I need to do this in the community. And I'm not saying I shouldn't be looking after the community of artists that we've built up, but I was putting a lot of energy into that, as well as, you know, the podcast and, you know, thinking about what new classes we should create. And my own art practice was suffering, and I wasn't finding the time to work on developing a new collection. That was making me feel very grumpy and sad, actually. I was feeling quite down that I was struggling to carve out the time to paint. And because when you look at our business, the main income stream for our business is online classes. We're not making a huge amount of income from selling art or doing prints and things, which has shifted. Like when I first started my art business, it was all about commissions and selling in a cafe and doing art markets and fairs. It was completely different. But our business has become much more of a teaching business. And when I say I'm not doing art, I'm doing art, but it's more with the mindset of it being a class, which is a bit different. And what I was missing was that feeling of doing art to create a body of work to sell or license or something like that separate to my classes. That was the thing that was kind of bugging me, was that I hadn't done that in a long time. I wanted to remedy that and create a collection. And because I was struggling with it so much, I started looking at how can I get motivated to do this. And you mentioned before, I have a few, you know, great opportunities coming up. And one of them involves getting a collection together ready for licensing or potential licensing. That's a completely different mindset to creating an online course. And I can't wait to get more into it. I've just started and I have managed to carve out a little bit of time so far. But what I want to do is have some dedicated days this week where I focus on creating that collection without too many other distractions. And I'm starting from the ground up. So I spent Friday last week just mixing colours, finding the colour palette for the collection. And then I began working on mark making, botanical imagery, compositional ideas. And it was really funny because as I was doing it, I realised that I'm working through the process that we recently taught in the Creative Elements Challenge. It's helpful. It's super helpful to break down your painting process into parts and just focus in on one part each session. So that's the way I'm working. I'm like, I'm going to nail my colours today, and then tomorrow I'm going to move into what kind of marks I'm using, and then I'm going to spend a whole day on botanical shapes. And that's the way that I'm working as I pull the collection together.
I'm smiling because you're saying, oh, I'm doing everything that's in the Creative Elements Challenge. This stuff really works. And I'm looking at you going, yeah, but the Creative Elements Challenge is something that you normally do.
I know. It's funny that I'm so surprised that it works. I should have a lot more confidence in my own process. I guess what I'm saying is that it's been a while since I've done it with a collection in mind. You know, it's something that I've drawn on from my previous life when I did more of that kind of art. That's how I taught it in the challenge, because I've done it before many times, but I haven't really done it for myself in a while, if that makes sense. As I was going through it, I was like, oh, I feel like I've just done this recently. And then I realized it was because I taught it in the Creative Elements Challenge. And for anyone new who's listening, the Creative Elements Challenge was a 5-day free challenge that we ran in February. And we will be running it again. It was hugely popular. So the plan is to repeat it at some point. So stay tuned for that.
So just on that series of paintings that you're planning on doing, and so you've started your warm-ups, you're looking at your color palette and all that, do you have a number of paintings in your head, or do you just decide to go?
Well, at this stage I have the idea of creating about 10 to 12 pieces for a collection that has harmonious feel to it. And then I might move on to another collection with a different feel, different color palette. So at the moment, I'm thinking about 10 to 12 pieces per collection.
So how many pieces do you paint in order to get 12? Or is that a deeply private question that you can't answer? 12.
Yeah, 12. No mistakes ever. No, I don't mess anything up. What are you talking about?
What are you saying? Perfect.
I'll do some sort of practice pieces and studies before I get on to the main pieces. I would say that maybe 2/3 of what I create I'll use. That might even be pushing it, maybe half. Some of the pieces aren't going to be full-on paintings either. This is a collection of elements and ideas that could be used in licensing. So some of it will be just imagery, some backgrounds, some full paintings, a larger piece. So it's a group of things that could be used in different ways. I'm not sure if I explained that very well, but when you license your work, they don't always use a whole painting. Sometimes they hone in on just a botanical shape, and then they'll take that and they might repeat it and turn it into a pattern and put it on a cushion or something like that. So with that in mind, I'm creating bits and pieces that could be used in a variety of ways rather than a whole lot of fully finished paintings. But I will be aiming to have at least 5 complete paintings, and then maybe a page just worth of botanical shapes, and then a few backgrounds or pattern kind of style things.
So how are you finding letting go of being on the computer, the business and all that kind of stuff? Now, I just want to let people who are listening know, when you say that you're not on the computer, you're still on the computer 2 or 3 hours a day. So how are you finding it?
I'm feeling a lot better today than I was a few days ago. Had a bit of a meltdown a few days ago, and I used one of those phrases that you can't stand when I use. I said to myself, I wish I could clone myself.
Even when you were saying it,
I knew it would tick you off.
I was like, please don't say it. Please don't say it. I just wish there was more of me.
I know. You hate it when I say that.
Yeah, and it's enough.
It's such an annoying thing to say. But anyway, so I was having one of those moments where I think that I'm the beyond and dawn, that there should be multiples of me. I had that moment where I went, oh, I've got all these bowls and I'm trying to keep them in the air and it's too hard. And of course, then you realize that you can't keep them all in the air. And in order to do the priorities, you're going to have to let some things slide a little bit. So I decided to ease off on social media this month. So if anyone's wondering why I'm barely on social media, one of the reasons for that is because I do not have the time. That's the truth. And I want to prioritize my painting and creating this collection. And at the same time, I also want to limit my influences while I'm doing this work to make sure that it's very authentic work and to keep me on track so that I don't see something and go, ooh, I want to do that and that and that. So it's another way of me sort of going deeper into my own work. So from time to time, I do like to just sort of ease off a bit on the social media side of things. And we are at the stage in our business where we can do that. We have a good newsletter list and other ways that we can reach people. And I can back off a little bit there. And also, you recently said to me that you were quitting social media. So you got rid of your Instagram. You had a private Instagram page and Facebook. And I was a little bit jealous. Although social media has given me so many opportunities, there are times when I feel tired of it and I want to step away, and it's a bit hard because, well, our business is built off of social media in many ways. And so when you said, oh, yeah, I'm just signing off, see you later, I was like, how come I can't just sign off? But I guess I can. I can if I really want to.
Well, I was talking to one of the guys and we were talking about it, and he mentioned to me, you know, oh, I went looking for you and I couldn't find you. And I thought you'd, and then you said the same to me. You said, did you block me or something? And I was like, no,
I was like, why is he blocking me?
But the same guy this morning was saying to me, he goes, oh, so you're back on Instagram. And I went, no, I'm not. And he goes, oh, your page is back up. So I went back in and apparently, unbeknownst to me, well, I'm quite sure it's in the small print somewhere. When I deactivated the account, it reactivates in 7 days. So I went back in this morning to deactivate it and it says I have to wait a week.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Because you only get
that.
One deactivation per week or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So I have to...
Did you just take it off your phone?
Yeah, so it's still off my phone. So I need to go back in. And you can't do it through the app. You have to go online on a computer to do it. So I have to... So there's a bit of a rigmarole there, you know, because I'm keeping Messenger from Facebook, but I'm getting rid of Facebook.
Yeah.
Or trying to.
Yeah, I said that I can leave social media, but it is a bit hard because I have... Facebook communities, and it would be a bit unfair to say, oh, I'm not going to be here anymore.
Yeah, but you're better with it than me. Yeah. Like I scroll for the sake of scrolling. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't actually do that much scrolling. Mostly I'm doing work-related stuff and responding to things. That's why sometimes I'm like, oh, I would like to have a more solid time away from social media, but I haven't yet figured that out. But I do feel better when I back off, particularly on weekends. So if you are trying to get a hold of me on social media on the weekends, you're probably not going to reach me because I like to get away from my phone. Much to your annoyance, I don't answer my phone quite often. I'll just leave it somewhere and then off I go. And I love to spend time gardening, chatting with the kids, like just living my life without any kind of ding-dings or anything like that in the background.
Well, so, I want more of that. That's what I want more of.
And so this weekend we both were away from social media for the weekend and we had the greatest weekend. Like the kids both had their cousins over and it was just really lovely. So more of that would be good. So anyway, so that's one of the things that I've let go of. And then you have taken on board a little bit more in relation to the podcast. So you did your first solo episode, which was brilliant. And you are in the middle of looking at a couple of episodes that you can put together to run on your own. And I think the idea that you have for the first one is creating a video for Instagram.
One of the biggest questions that came true, and still coming true, by the way, so thank you for the questions, is how to create one of those sped up videos. So kind of like a time lapse for Instagram. So I'm going to do almost like a video breakdown on how to set up shot selection, composition, what to leave in, what to take out, and how to do it yourself. So we'll talk through the reasons why some videos are more engaging than others.
So it's almost taking it from beginner to a little bit more of an intermediate approach to creating a video for social media.
Yeah.
But you will take people through the very basics of setting up their phone, tripod, that kind of stuff as well.
It'll all be done on an iPhone.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'll just be showing people tips and tricks basically to just bring their time-lapse game up to a next level.
I look forward to that because I've been playing around a little bit with doing it myself from time to time. That was one of my goals this year. I'm completely at odds with myself sometimes, aren't I? Like I talk about I want to break from social media, but then one of my goals this year was to share more videos on social media. Yeah.
And I was just going to say this to you. Like I like the idea that you're stepping away from social media because you don't want any influence.
Mm.
Like I watch documentaries on stand-up comedy and all the best, like all the top stand-up comics, when they were being interviewed, they said, oh, who's your favorite comic? Who do you like to watch? And they said, well, I don't watch comedy because I cannot afford to be influenced or steal a joke because it's a really big no-no in the comedy world. And I was liking that fact that you were saying, I'm stepping away because I don't want any influence. I also know about you is that once you make a decision to paint, filming, computer, social media is the last thing on your mind. And I'm always having a go at you. Like I was even trying to develop GoPros with unlimited batteries and unlimited storage so I could set one up, hit record and walk away because I know you will not take time out of your day to hit record or change an angle. You just want to paint and listen to music.
Yeah, because painting is therapeutic to me, and some of the therapeutic benefits, they lessen when I turn it into creating something out of it, like a Instagram video or even photos and stuff. When I paint, I like to completely kind of get into the process. I don't like to have my phone nearby. I don't like to answer calls, emails. I don't even really like to see anybody, let's be honest. I like to just go in deep and have some time with my own thoughts, emotions. That can be disturbed when I bring in some other kind of objective into it. So when I crave that kind of painting, healing, therapeutic time, I like to just let it be that. Other times I'll be inspired to create a video and I'll actually wake up and go, you know what, I'm going to create a little video for Instagram today, and then it's fine because that's where my head is at. So it depends on what kind of mood or what I need as to whether or not I can focus on something like that or whether I just want to be left alone to paint.
But when you're finding your flow, when you're painting zone, you never, ever take your camera out. That is like your time.
Yeah, sometimes I'll take a photograph at the end, but usually I just like to get swept up in the process of it. And our daughter was home from school the other day and I was beginning to work on this collection and I was starting with all the color swatching and finding my palette. And she walked past and she was like, are you just going to spend the whole day swatching colors? And I'm like, possibly.
Possibly. Yes. Yes, I will.
Yes, I will. She was like, when are you moving on to painting? And I was like, maybe in a week's time.
It just goes to show the patience you have, that even someone walking past you gets impatient.
Looking at me and just scrutinizing, is that exactly the color that I want, that navy blue? Does it need to be a bit more black?
It's funny when you're on the outside looking in because it's blue is blue. You know?
Not to me, it isn't.
No, it's not.
There are many, many shades. Many shades of gray.
50.
So back to your question, like how am I handling all of this? And I mentioned, so social media, easing off. Podcast, getting you to do a couple of episodes. I am holding off on creating another class just for a little bit. So I'm giving myself a week or two to focus in on painting and creating this series. And then after that, I will switch back into class creation. So what I'm doing is not trying to do everything all at once because it's just too much to juggle in 1 week. So what I've done is given myself a bit of dedicated painting time, so a couple of weeks, and then we'll move into something else. So simplifying it in a way.
You always did it, like on larger scales, like when you were doing markets, you are all in on markets. When you slotted into the gallery, you are all in.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of multitasking. I mean, I multitask every day because I have to, like there's always things happening. But as much as possible, if I can have a single focus on any day, that's my best way of working. So if I can wake up and go, oh, today is about this, and then do as much as I can around that particular thing. But I do find it difficult to schedule. I've tried that and hard to sort of schedule it in because often people say, okay, you want to make art, put it in your calendar, schedule it in. And I do think that works, but what I find is that I need to be very flexible with it and I can only do it sort of a week ahead. So yesterday when I was doing my planning, I looked at this week and I did say, well, there's a good spot there. That afternoon I could spend on this part of the process and that morning would be a good time. So I was able to carve out some blocks of time this week, but they won't be the same next week. So that's the key difference. I used to think that I could just say, okay, Tuesday is my painting day, Friday is my painting day. But life is too higgledy-piggledy. Like we're forever just doing other things. Like we've got projects that we are working on at home with our house. So we're in the midst of replacing some of the flooring and fixing some creaks that we have in our floors. So there's going to be a bit of upheaval at home with that. you have things with your kids, whatever. I mean, I don't need to go into it. We all have all these commitments and demands. So having a loose schedule is something that works a lot better for me. I can get a bit hung up on things having to be done at a certain time, whereas I do think it's better to match your mood and how you feel.
Yeah.
That works well for me. And there are other days where I enjoy spending a day on my computer. For example, putting together an online class, like uploading it into Teachable and getting all the copy ready and the images and all of that sort of stuff. I can spend a whole day doing that. I can enjoy that more so than doing, I don't know, a chunk here and a chunk there. And I like to kind of just go in and do something and
complete it.
Yeah, and get it done. So that's the way that I tend to work. Haven't for a long time been able to paint or make art every day. That's not something I've been able to do. And I'm not even sure if it's the way that I want to work. When I started painting, I definitely did. But these days, as I said, I often will have a day where I spend the whole day working on the computer, developing a course. And then another day might be spent doing the accounts. And it would be nice to sort of fit in a little bit of art, but I still kind of like to have a longer period. I just like to immerse myself in my art. So I have been working on it, and I've proven to myself that I can make something in 15 minutes. So it's not impossible. I could set something up. For me, just having an afternoon here and a morning throughout the week, that's my preference.
Couple of hours.
Yeah, I like to have a few hours. And it's interesting when you dig into how do you work best, like how many hours. And I think for me, about 4 hours is about right as far as how much time I spend painting and making art. Like 3 to 4 hour blocks is my ideal for that kind of work. And for most work, really, like that's a nice amount of time to get stuck into something.
And it's good, like you can slot healthy options in as well, because before you wouldn't have any healthy options at all. You just paint all day, you know, and you'd come in and say, have you drank any water? Well, I've had 15 cups of tea. So now you're making sandwiches, you're taking breaks, you're eating healthy, you're drinking lots of water. It's good.
Yeah, painting and good health was something that didn't combine for me for a while. And just recently, I'm working hard at looking after myself and my energy levels, taking breaks, drinking water, eating healthy food. And I've been getting into cooking in the last little wee while and insisting that we eat more vegetables. So that's been good. And it's a nice little hobby in a way. Like it's something that I've been enjoying, is getting back into recipes and cookbooks and stuff like that. As I said, I love gardening as well. So if I can fit in those things and not see them as being like getting in the way of me getting stuff done, but rather that those things re-energize me and make me feel good, and they're actually a part of my working week in a way. And that's an idea that I remember when we spoke to Carrie Schmidt on the podcast. I think we've mentioned this a couple of times now, but she mentioned about her yoga, I think it was a yoga and whatever other rituals that she does, like that being part of her work day and having that mindset that it's as important as the painting or the marketing and stuff. So I'm trying to adopt that, because I can be very intense. And I've said this heaps of times too on the podcast, you know, I can be kind of destructive and just work for hours and hours and hours on something without coming up for air. And I'm working so hard to not be like that.
Yeah, I like that Carrie Schmidt one, because she put her well-being as high up on the business ladder as completed pieces of art. Like it was.
Yeah, it's the very first thing she does. So it's like the priority of the day. Like that's the thing that's getting done. So it's number one. Her number one priority is looking after her well-being. And I feel like looking after my well-being is often my last priority.
The least thing you do, yeah.
So I'm not happy with that. I want to be more proactive about my health and well-being and taking breaks, walks, all of those things.
I think you just need to get more comfortable with letting go. Like letting go of control. And I don't mean letting go of control by letting someone else do the work. What I mean is just let it lie.
Yeah, I have trouble.
It'll still be there tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel like I put way too much pressure on myself. That's the problem that I have, is that I want to do it all. I feel bad if I don't do certain things. Like, yeah. I struggle to just walk away from things. And then you'll say to me, but why? Like, no one's making you do that. Like,
yeah, it's perceived pressure.
Yes, that's the word. Perceived pressure.
That's all it is.
I don't know how you put up with me. I must be so annoying sometimes.
You're not too bad. You're not too bad.
I'm really glad that you brought up that phrase, perceived pressure, because I'm going to hang on to that. And when I feel that sort of burden of responsibility that I sometimes get, I'm going to remind myself that the pressure is something that I'm putting on myself.
Can I just mention that the reason I know that phrase is because it's used quite often in boxing. And what we try to do is make our opponent think that they're constantly under pressure. So even though we're not doing anything, the opponent is perceiving that they're under pressure, and it physically and mentally exhausts you. So just because you're not in a boxing ring or you're not on a football pitch or whatever, if you think you are under pressure all the time, you will get mentally, physically and spiritually exhausted.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was feeling that and I wasn't actually doing that much work. I was feeling so exhausted by the thought of all the work and the things that I should be doing,
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't even getting that much done. And then I was getting frustrated at myself because of that. So it's a vicious cycle. But that's the effect that stress and anxiety and all of that can have on you. It's very debilitating. And so I've had to work hard over the last few days, maybe week or so, to get myself back on track. And it started, I guess, around the time when you did your solo episode. I was starting to struggle and feel like I needed to take a few deep breaths. And just in the last few days, I've felt a lot better, and especially getting out of my electronic planner. And as much as I love Trello, it has a lot in it. Like, it's got lots of boards and lots of things. So when I go in there, I'm like, ooh, I should be doing all these things. And getting into my notebook and just having like one spread with just what I need to do this week, simplified, brought a lot of calm to my week. And spending Sunday just taking several hours to set up that page and doodle and get very clear on what I'm going to do, but also have some flex in there and some well-being in there too. So I'm also putting that in my planner. I'm just writing little notes around, you know, what I'm going to cook for dinner and when I'm going to go for a walk and things like that, so that I'm building that in. And I think that will take a bit of time for me to prioritize that to the level that I should be prioritizing it, but I've made a start and I'm happy.
Yeah, I love it when I open my diary and on a day it just has a single word in it, you know, filming, editing.
You know, yeah.
Maybe you should just have art.
Yes, one word.
That's it.
The one thing.
Yeah, not what you're cooking, not what you're going to do in the morning.
Yeah.
Just art.
Yeah. I mean, I do try and keep it reasonably simple. But now that you're saying that, I'm going, God, am I overcomplicated? My simplified version.
You've overcomplicated your simplified version. That is so Laura Horn. That, do you know what? That is more you than spilling your coffee.
Okay, well, I think that's a good place to end this podcast then. I've overcomplicated my simplified version of life.
Yes. So you.
Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. I hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. Next week, Richie will be back and he will be sharing with you his tips and all his wisdom and knowledge that he has around how to make a little video for social media.
If you have a couple of questions on time lapse, shoot them over. I'm 90% sure of what I'm going to talk about, but if I see a really cool question come through, I will definitely slot it in.
Well, since I'm not on social media very much, I will point people over to the email. So if you want to put a little request in for this tech training video that Richie's going to put together, and I said video because you are...
There will be video content with it.
Yes. So it's a podcast with a little video as well. And if you want to chat to Richie about that at all, you can email him over at laurahornartinfo@gmail.com. Thanks again, everyone. I hope that you have a lovely week and that you join us again next time.